Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski.
A week after a shooting where Buffalo Police Commissioner Erica Shields said the department is very fortunate to not have a line of duty death, attention for some officers is turning to when their union will have a new contract with the city after working without one for almost a year. Here's WBEN's Brayton Wilson.
Shortly after Tuesday's passing of the city budget, Mayor Sean Ryan's office released a statement to WGRZ-TV that the city is looking forward to negotiating with all of its city employee labor unions, including the Police Benevolent Association. The city adds it's expected to pick up negotiations once the new fiscal year officially kicks in July. PBA President John Davidson is among those pleased to know that the budget process is finally taken care of.
I have not been given any kind of timeline from the city. I know that I can be optimistic from our end that we are ready to sit down and discuss any and all options for a contract.
Davidson acknowledges there's still work to be done to help the department get back in a comfortable position when it comes to staffing and recruiting numbers. He remains concerned with the current stats compared to the budget's expectations.
According to the budget numbers and what the city needs to operate on, I believe the number that Mayor Ryan used was 814, and we are 100 below that. And as far as supervisory ranks, we are currently one below minimum staffing at captain and two below minimum staffing at lieutenant. The contract's been expired for 332 days. And we're ready to sit down when the city's ready to sit down.
More from Davidson can be found online. Brayton Wilson, WBEN.com News.
All right, Brayton, thank you. It's a milestone day for the new Bills Stadium. Erie County expected to issue a temporary certificate of occupancy today. Stadium now about 96% complete, and that certificate means the Bills can move staff and operations into the new facility. Vendors can also begin setup of food and beverage services. The first event's still 2 months away. That'll be that blue and red practice. Don't want to mess that up. Scheduled for August 8th. And it will look a lot different than it does right now, even just 2 months from now.
But it will.
96% complete. It's funny. I bet you if you take anyone through there, they'd say, like, all right, you know, 60% complete. Because those final, 2%, the last mile with all the adornments and finishing touches, they kind of mean everything.
It adds a big splash to it.
It's, really does make the,
and for
catches
me,
the eye.
I can't wait until the Buffaloes move in front of the stadium.
That'll be fun to see. I'm just thinking, when I walk through some of these construction sites, I'm always amazed by the people who lead you on a tour and they can tell you, all right, here, this is where this is going to be. And this is, our whatever. And I walk through and go, I can't see it for the life of me.
I know. People who can vision, have that vision and can explain that where it's hard to see it otherwise.
I can't see it, but I'm glad the people who are in charge of it can. That's happening today again. Still going to be work going on at the stadium, but another little milestone for it here.
New data from Moody's Analytics shows the typical household is spending nearly $450 extra dollars on fuel-related expenses since the war with Iran began.
A week after President Trump said a deal with Iran was largely negotiated, no announcement has been made. President Trump is demanding Iran reopen the Strait of Hormuz, agree to never develop a nuclear weapon, and allow the U.S. to remove its highly enriched uranium. American and Iranian negotiators believe the agreement is expected to extend the ceasefire and open the strait, but not end the conflict entirely. But Iran says it's nuclear program, the issue at the heart of this conflict, isn't part of the negotiations.
Today's prices, 46% higher than right before the conflict began. $4.54 is the average price across Western New York this morning. That's down from last week, still up a quarter from last month, and it is $1.50 more than we were paying 1 year ago.
Well, it's a race against time in the ongoing cave rescue effort in Southeast Asia. Two men remain missing this morning in a cave they entered more than a week ago.
After days underground, these guys emerged exhausted, some of them collapsing, some of them screaming because they must be so relieved after days underground. No food, barely any water. They were able to ferry them electrolytes, but simply not enough. They were wrapped in those space blankets and were treated under tents immediately and then sent to hospital.
It's Britt Klenit reporting from Hong Kong.
All right, hoping for the best with the remaining two. Here at home, the nice weather brings about the usual warnings of ticks. But this year, the alarm is sounding a bit different. WBEN's Lucas Buckley has that.
A new kind of tick has shown up, albeit in very small numbers in Erie County. It's called the Lone Star tick, and this one's bite can make you allergic to red meat. There's some good news, though.
Being new to the area, the Lone Star tick isn't something that's a huge red flag on my radar yet.
That's Erie County Parks Department Supervising Park Ranger Chuck Bartlett. The red meat allergy is called alpha-gal syndrome. How does it stack up to two other popular types of tick?
So looking at the black-legged tick, being a soft-bodied tick, they are very prone to losing moisture, and you're going to most likely encounter those in more forested or edge areas. When you start looking at dog ticks, they're a hard-bodied tick and can retain moisture a lot better and will do much better in those grassy areas and like lawn turf areas. I encounter them most frequently in shrublands.
Lone Star ticks can be found in both of those habitats, as well as woodlands. Ranger Chuck says only around six have been found here. So if you want to keep your appetite for steak or beef, Ranger Chuck says you should do a full body check during and after walks or bike rides.
A second good tip is repellents rated for ticks. Permethrin is one I prefer. It is very good at preventing or repelling ticks. And you can spray your clothes. Like I spray it on, especially my uniform pants, about every 2 weeks, and it'll last several washings before it needs to be redone.
All tick-rated repellents should work, Ranger Chuck says. I'm Lucas Buckley, WBEN.com News.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, any tick is worrisome, but this one, this Lone Star tick, just sounds
And they're being
horrible.
Seen around here. You hear from people who have been out there, any of the state parks or anything like that, you're seeing the ticks, you're seeing them already. And that includes this Lone Star tick that, you know, a couple years ago was like this oddity.
Yes.
And now it's much talked about as an explosion of them has happened, especially in the Northeast. Crazy.
That's absolutely crazy. I mean, I'm so worried about my dog, but I mean, it's really for everybody needs to watch for this, too. All right. How about this? A Bluetooth device aboard an international flight force the pilot to turn around.
We all know the rules when flying. Turn your tech devices to airplane mode when directed by the pilot. Spain-bound plane out of Newark Liberty International Airport turned around mid-flight Saturday when an available Bluetooth device labeled bomb was still on, and it resulted in the pilot making the drastic decision to make a U-turn and return to Newark. Officials conducted an investigation and found that the device was the name given for a Fitbit for a teenager on board the flight. The 190 passengers and 12 crew members were forced to evacuate. They were later taken to Spain on a replacement flight the next day. Sue Guzman, Fox News.
The next day, they got to go.
Great. Yeah, I'm sure the hotel's very accommodating. Oh, you know, your flight got turned around. No problem. Nope.
Oh, my gosh. What a nightmare.
For that
because
one.
Somebody named their device bomb.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
Easy.
Your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast. Abundant sunshine today with temperatures up near 70 degrees this afternoon. For tonight, mainly clear, comfortably cool, lows in the upper 40s. Tuesday, mostly sunny, a little milder with highs in the mid-70s. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Minkowski.
And let's bring in Niagara Falls Mayor Rob Restaino this morning from Niagara Falls, New York. I talk about tourism because the season is here. It really kicks off officially Memorial Day weekend. But we're wondering, Rob, what you're seeing in terms of tourism this year. Last year it was down. What about this year?
Good morning. Let me start by saying that it's been a pretty robust beginning. In fact, occupancy rates for April, which is the last full month reported, were up year over year, and that's April. And it's been very busy this whole month of May. So we have a pretty good outlook so far. Along with having to sort of adjust with regard to a lot of the greater Ontario visitors that we get, we still get many that are in the Niagara region, but we're also, again, focusing on that drive time within the states, Great Lakes, Mid-Atlantic area, and we're seeing an awful lot of tourism coming in from that area. Also, we were pleased to be a part of the cruise ship that came into Buffalo last week. So it's great. It's another opportunity for people to come to Niagara Falls and see what a jewel it really is.
Yeah, you're looking to bring more people in. I'm wondering if there was any disappointment at all. We were just talking here about the World Cup coming up. The state is putting on a couple of different events in Buffalo, Silo City, a canal side in Buffalo. Across the border, they're going to have a big event like all day, every day in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Was there any discussion about doing something at Niagara Falls this side of the border? Any big watch parties, or was there anyone upset that maybe Niagara Falls wasn't included in the state's plans?
Well, you know, obviously we are disappointed that the state did not include Niagara Falls, New York, as the province of Ontario included Niagara Falls, Canada. But, you know, those things happen. It's for others to decide whether or not it's perhaps an appropriate course to take. But, you know, within our own tourism agency, we're going to be having some things done, especially toward the tail end with some of the finals. So, again, you know, Niagara Falls will do its best to shine on this side of the river.
You know, on tourism, where are you seeing the bigger numbers? Is it Canadian tourists? Is it from Europe, South America? Where are most of the tourists coming from?
Yeah, well, we continue to get a lot of tourism from Asia, as well as some from European countries. But I will tell you that the lion's share continue to be here in North America. So, and especially now an uptick in more domestic tourism to Niagara Falls. And I think that's a function of a number of things. Certainly, the economics of traveling within the United States is becoming a bit more challenging in terms of, financial constraints. And so we've become an attractive destination for families, seniors. And that's great. You know, they are tourist groups that continue to find Niagara Falls a thrilling place to be, and they get the word out as well, so we really appreciate that.
From where we sit right now, a lot's been said about the Canadian tourism industry here and whether or not Canadians are coming to the U.S. Is the lack of Canadian tourism being overstated or understated in your mind?
Well, I would say this, at least as far as Niagara Falls is concerned. It is true that many Canadian tourists have declined coming into the States. And I would say, the greater Toronto area and points outside of the Niagara region. But as always, and those are the people that would come and perhaps stay for an extended stay. And so on that point, I don't think it's overstated. I think it's rather accurate that we have lost some of that market. But I do think that with regard to sort of those day trips, people who come and stay maybe one evening, again, in the Niagara region, that's still coming. And some of that has to do, too, with, as you recall me saying a couple of other times, too, that there's families on both sides, right? So you'll have that constant traffic that will come from one side to the next. So I think overall, yes, we have seen a downturn, but I think in terms of a more local travel, I don't think much has changed.
You know, Mayor, with respect to Canadian tourists, how much of it do you think is geopolitical tension versus just border crossing concerns?
Well, I think it's geopolitical. I think it's border crossings. I also think it's economic, right? I mean, the exchange rate. I think there are a number of those things that sort of come together in a not so friendly soup, so to speak, and that's what's impacted it. I think those various aspects of it.
Well, Mayor, we appreciate you coming on with us this morning. Always appreciate the time. Robert Steino, Mayor of Niagara Falls, joining us live.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.